All right, today's episode is brought to you by CBDMD. Getting a good night's sleep can be much easier said than done, but don't worry. Our good friends over at CBDMD have exactly what you need to help you unwind and sleep hard these days. The Sleep PM bath salts fuse superior CBD and melatonin with a mixture of Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts, all the salts mixed in there, to turn any bathtub into a luxury spa experience and give you the relaxation you desperately deserve. To make it even easier to relax these days, to regroup, to recharge, they're offering you, all our listeners, 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD. All right, got a great episode for you today. Adam sits down with Ajahi Brown from Nets Wire. They discuss a bunch of different stuff in Nets world. They talk about Ajahi coming up, starting to cover the Brooklyn Nets and where he's been before. They talk about the Blake Griffin signing. They talk about expectations both at the beginning of the season until now. It's a great talk around all things Nets from one of the up-and-coming writers that's covering the team right now. They're going to get into everything here next, but first, the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, so as we had highlighted on our last episode, and unfortunately, right off the top, we're going to have to do a little mea culpa here as we welcome in a special guest who's been covering the Brooklyn Nets, and that is Ajahi Brown, not Ayaji Brown, as you may have heard myself, and I also convinced Doug to mispronounce it as well as we were highlighting having this guest on today. But officially welcome in Ajahi, who covers the Brooklyn Nets. You've also been covering Syracuse Athletics as well as the Long Island Nets, so I may have some questions down there in the G League affiliate as well. Thanks for hopping on the show with us.
Look, Adam, I appreciate you for having me. I'm always down to talk anything Brooklyn Nets, so...
Before we do get into specifically some of the questions around Brooklyn and how they've looked so far this season, you are not only the editor and writer for Nets Wire, it's also a contributing member to USA Today and what is affectionately referred to as their SM group, the social media group, bringing some attention to the Brooklyn Nets. Where did you kind of get your roots starting to cover Brooklyn? I know you worked for Nets Daily as well. Is that where you began your full coverage of Brooklyn?
Yes. It all started with Nets Daily in April of last year. It came because my friend Fahad, basically, what had happened last year was his house had caught on fire, and Pooch had first covered his story before anybody. So credit to Anthony Puccio, guys, for reporting out that Fahad's house had burned down. The only thing that remained was his jersey. A Kyrie Irving jersey. And, you know, like a week after, I believe it's a week after or maybe 2 weeks after, I just wanted to get like a visual representation of Fahad's reaction to that. So I decided to interview him about that. And when Nets Daily had basically they were open to take me on board, and it was just like, wow, okay, like I'm definitely like open to covering like the team that I've been watching since I was, you know, a young little boy, you know, growing up in Brooklyn. And I never was like watching the Knicks growing up as a kid, you know. It was always the Brooklyn Nets for me. Went to Barclays like since, you know, it opened up in 2012, so it's just been a roller coaster ride. You definitely know what I mean, Adam. Since you've been watching them since New Jersey, like watching them come to Brooklyn, just seeing how Billy King just, you know, I guess you can say,
ran him directly into the ground. Yeah, that's how you can phrase that. Yeah, we don't mince words on this show. Yeah, yep. Took them and literally drove it to the bottom of a dumpster and set the thing on fire, as we like to say. You and I were talking.
I couldn't put it any different way.
Yeah, and you and I were talking before we got on and saying, as people who listen to the show know, I'm from New Jersey, but being based out of Brooklyn, and you just mentioned there the Knicks, is that – so you never had – obviously once Brooklyn arrives there, is that the thing growing up there that you say, oh, this is a team that I can really feel a connection to, as opposed to – we know the Knicks. They've dominated New York City since their inception, and it's obviously been an uphill battle for Brooklyn since getting over there. But did that make it really easier to gravitate? Because it's not like this was instant success, right? You go back to that transition. Sure. You have some of those carryover players, the Darren Williams of the world, the mishandling by King and trying to get some aging veterans like Paul Pierce, like Kevin Garnett. That all doesn't work out. So making a choice to be a Nets fan was it was still saying committing to a murky future, right?
right, for sure. I guess you can say it was the fact that everybody in New York supported the Knicks. And I was like, hey, I don't want to support the Knicks. I want something different. And when I saw the Nets and like their squad, once they directly came to Brooklyn, because when they were in New Jersey, look, like I watched them, but it wasn't like they were my favorite team. I kind of was neutral at that point when they were in New Jersey. So once they came to Brooklyn, I was like, you know, I'm from Brooklyn. They're representing Brooklyn, and there's just something about this team that just, you know, it's like it kept always drawing me in regards to the way they played. You know, Joe Johnson at the time was so clutch. You remember ISO Joe. Like you mentioned, Deron Williams, he was, as much as like he was going through a lot of injuries throughout his career in Brooklyn, like he was a Showtime player. His handles always had you like at the edge of your seat. So I guess you can say it was definitely like the fact that they weren't the Knicks that drove me over.
No, listen. And by the way, we try not to kick rocks too much across town, but they've had their struggles as well. So it's not like they've been the most attractive franchise, for a prospect fan to necessarily attach to. Before we get into this season and what we've kind of seen from Brooklyn, I will quickly ask, because if you've been covering also the Long Island Nets, you've been getting some eyes on our boy Reggie Perry, as I affectionately call the Pear Bear. Doug's not going to appreciate this because he doesn't care about necessarily the G League. I know it's not the biggest thing, but quickly, how has he looked in his development down there after we got a little taste of him, obviously at the NBA level, but we expected him to go down to the G League at some point and kind of work on his game.
Well, there in the G League, he's definitely like more comfortable in regards to having the ball in possession compared to when he was playing those early games as a rookie for the Nets, like in the beginning of the season. Because on the G League Nets, the Long Island Nets, of course, he basically has plays set up for him to like get the ball in the post and like go to work. And I feel like when he was playing for Brooklyn towards the beginning of this season, he didn't really have those type of plays, because obviously you have Kyrie Irving, you have James Harden, you have players like Kevin Durant. Those are the focal points of the offense. Reggie Perry, you don't need him to be a focal point of the offense. And two, he's a rookie coming in. You don't know if he's even capable of scoring like on a ran through play in the post, like straight up just, I'm just going to say like a face up type of play, like towards like the mid-range area. Like that's where I saw Reggie Perry catch the ball a lot playing for Long Island. And he just, I guess you could say, bodied his way through to get a bucket. And that was something new compared to what I saw out of him playing for the Brooklyn Nets. And that was something that I enjoyed watching, because I was like, wow, Reggie, okay. It was easy for him too. Like he would score on most of those plays. So it showed me that Reggie Perry can definitely be something that the Brooklyn Nets would want to use towards the future, because he's still a rookie. Like fans still expected a lot from him because he's playing for the Brooklyn Nets. When you look around, like there's so much talent all across the board, but he, for a rookie, he isn't bad at all. And he has a bright future ahead of him. No,
for sure. And that's the hard part about it. He gets a little bit of an early taste here, but I don't think the expectations ever should have been set much higher than, hey, work on your game and let's see where you go from there.
All right, we're going to keep going here with Adam and Ajahi talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball. First, need to talk to you about our friends over at Blue Chew. Blue Chew's making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom these days. It's a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at the fraction of a cost. Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED and can help men gain extra confidence for when it's time to perform. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Go to BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. Right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free when you use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout and just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON, just like our podcast network, to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
That being the case, we'll put that feather in our cap here for Nets fans that want to think long term. In the short term, when you look at this team and what they've done this year, and even coming maybe from last year into this season, what's been the biggest surprise that you've tracked here? Obviously, we're going to touch on that Harden trade in a second, but did anything stand out to you at the start, the first half of this season relative to where this team was a year ago?
I feel like the difference between what has been happening in the first half of this season compared to like last year or 2 years ago is the fact that whatever Sean Marks has going on for this team for this season, it's working and it's gelling fast, and it's gelling faster than ever before, because just like this week, you have a big, free agent once he was bought out and waived by the Detroit Pistons. Blake Griffin was like, I want to go to the Brooklyn Nets. I want to win the championship. You never had players saying that for the past decade or two. And you understand that even like watching the Nets in New Jersey, because they weren't that team that you can say, okay, they're the favorites to win the title this year. That's the difference with the Nets this year. They're the clear-cut favorites at this moment, and they built that towards the first half of the season, which you really like to see.
No, and we just touched on this in the last episode about the perception of the Nets around the league, right? The expectations now, and to your point, you know, we are in that group when you talk about Blake Griffin or any of these players in the buyout market that, okay, it's the Lakers, it's the Clippers, it's, you know, maybe you're going to throw in the Miami Heat, the Celtics, you know, all the main players that you expect to be attractive markets. Now Brooklyn gets to put his name right in the thick of it. So that's been a big shift that Doug and I were just breaking down yesterday. Now, for all of these improvements and all the expectations, we know that Kevin Durant, a little bit of time away with a hamstring injury heading into the break. Has this current team played up to and met your expectations that you had at the start of the year? And if there is areas of improvement, you know, what do you see that you say, okay, second half here, I need you to show me X in order to feel confident as they head towards the playoffs?
I don't want to sound so optimistic on the Nets. However, Adam, these questions, it kind of will have me sound optimistic for them, but All in the right ways, you know, all because they've earned it. In the first half of the season, after post the Harden trade, that's when I started really like being more, I guess, critical of the Brooklyn Nets, because now you have three All-Stars. Even though Kevin Durant is dealing with that hamstring injury, like you mentioned, I still wanted to have high expectations for the Brooklyn Nets, because there shouldn't be any excuse to why a team like the Cleveland Cavaliers are stealing a game on you guys during the season. So just, you know, since since Kevin Durant, I guess you could say like went away with that hamstring injury after that Golden State game, the Nets just started rolling, and they just started rolling and they did not stop. And that's the point I marked as when they started exceeding my expectations, because one, with James Harden, I expected it to take more time for him to gain chemistry with the rest of the team. And two, you still have players like Landry Shamet. It's their first year playing with this type of team, yet this offseason, they didn't get that much time. The players in the league didn't have that much time to, you know, really gel in and practice and gain that type of chemistry, because you're jumping into another season with barely a break just because of the pandemic, and you just don't want to fall off the schedule for the following season. So, like, everything was just all over the place. So even right now, the Nets' chemistry isn't even close to its true potential.
Yeah, right? It's interesting. Yeah, when you think about it, you mentioned you got players that are
in the first half of the season was just a least of, you know, what we're going to see.
Yeah, and it's funny. You're talking about a team that in Kevin Durant, right, that didn't play for so long, signed with the Nets, but never got on the court, right? Kyrie Irving, only 20 games last year. So all of those pieces are still trying to find that rhythm and that gel. You mentioned Harden. Right. We kind of have that name out there, as we know. Were you as confident at the time of the trade as everyone kind of is now? Did you see the shift and evolution of his game and what it was going to look like in Brooklyn? Because as good as he is, we all know that, but the question really became, how do you fit in with Kevin Durant? How do you fit in with Kyrie Irving? And now at the midway point, we're talking about he should be high in the MVP conversation, and we're talking about how he really is the motor for this roster and the one who is facilitating so successfully for KD when he's on the court, for Kyrie, and then even for all these role players. He's really leaned into that identity. Were you that confident, and how did you feel at the time of the trade?
Right. I'm going to knock this one out, and I didn't get to that last part on the last question in regards to what the Nets need to do after watching the first half of the season, so I'll knock that one out right after this one. So Harden, for me, he shocked me in the first half of this season, and I'm blown away to how he was able to adapt so quickly. Like, I feel like he's one of the only players, or probably just the only player in the association that can just join a team and then average over 10 assists. Like, who does that? You can't be human if you're doing that. LeBron James can't do that. LeBron couldn't do it when he got to LA for his first season there. Kevin Durant can't even do that. As great of a scorer Kevin Durant is, he can't do that, you know? And Stephen Curry, we all know he's the greatest shooter of mankind, but we're talking about 10 assists with a new team right off the bat. James Harden has been providing those type of numbers, plus giving you about 25 points per game.
Doing it effortlessly, right? It's been insane.
Yep. And in the beginning, when he first got to Brooklyn, yes, he was getting turnovers constantly because he's learning his new teammates. And I never really was that critical about it because I know he just got here. And now we're starting to really see, as those turnovers have been going down towards, like, as the season kept progressing, that he's starting to learn the offense more. In the beginning, he barely even knew where Joe Harris was going to be, where Kyrie Irving would be, where, let's say, Jeff Green, even though, like, they played in Houston, you know, like, things change when you have different personnel a part of the offense. So it was still new in regards to, you know, getting Jeff Green, plays like Jeff Green open. So that was what really shocked me in regards to James Harden's play.
All right, there's still some more Adam and Ajayi talking Brooklyn Nets basketball, but first, have to talk to you about our friends over at Built Bar. We've been telling you about Built Bar for a while now. It's the best tasting protein bar on the market. It's the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, best protein bar on the market. 100% chocolate on all the bars too. Can't beat that. But right now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best, because it's Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup, banana nut bread versus toffee almond. For this one, it's not even close for me, folks. Toffee almond all the way. Go try it out yourself. Go to builtbar.com or to built_bar on Twitter. And when you sign up, you're going to make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That's LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at builtbar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON20. And finally, got to talk to you about our friends over at Bet Online. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. NBA about to come back in full force here. College basketball gearing up for March Madness. NHL on the ice every single night. Bet Online has you covered for every sport. Got you covered for reality TV and award shows too. Not just bets aren't just confined to sports these days, folks. You can bet on almost anything. They have real updated odds and props on basically anything you can imagine. It also has you covered for all the news and scores too, so it's your one-stop shop for following all things sports. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today on Bet Online and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. But you got to use the promo code Locked On, just like our podcast network. Like I said, Bet Online, promo code Locked On, 50% welcome bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
And you mentioned that Joe Harris connection, which has really developed over the course of it as well. It's one of the more exciting relationships that Doug and I continually highlight, because we all know how talented Joe Harris is. But we've mentioned this as a thread that every player on this roster that we've been so excited about, including a veteran like Jeff Green, including Harden when he came over, was all about the little things. Bruce Brown's another great example. You know, the mental acuity.
I love Bruce Brown.
What's not to love about the guy? And it seems to all come down to being in the right place at the right time, making yourself available. And that's why you've seen Joe Harris have, if it's possible, an even more impressive shooting performance this season than we've seen from him in years past with Brooklyn. So, and all those things, and we talk about it, right? Harden does elevate and make players around him better. We're seeing that maybe with Nicholas Claxton and getting excited about what he can be as well. So the far-reaching impact has been absolutely great to see. Now, you mentioned the question that we didn't quite get to. I'll tie it into, obviously, you had an article out pre-trade or pre-acquisition of Blake Griffin. He now is a member of the Brooklyn Nets in conjunction with, what are the expectations? What do you want to see in the second half of the year? What do you want to see from Blake Griffin? What type of role do you identify him having with the Nets? Because at the time, at least, you felt that this would be a good player and a good fit for Brooklyn. How do you see that going forward now?
In regards to the second half of the season for Blake Griffin, I just want to see him have, I should say, fun again playing the game. Like, yeah, I understand, like, he was having fun, you know, in Detroit playing basketball there. However, you're not winning basketball games. Detroit has clearly proven over the past years for quite some time that they're not close to contending anytime soon. So a player like Blake Griffin, who actually wanted to stay in on the Clippers and was told that he was going to stay there for the rest of his career and before he was traded by Steve Ballmer, that's kind of, you know, bad on Blake Griffin's end, because it's like, wow, like, now I have to play for a team like the Pistons, who's not known for contending, who's not going to contend in these next years. So for him to come to a contender now, it's like, you're definitely going to see him more motivated than, like, for, like, more motivated than he's been in a while.
You said he was probably having fun in Detroit. Look no further than Bruce Brown. That kid is elated to be on the Brooklyn Nets. We're not disparaging around other teams in the league, but nobody's having fun playing for Detroit. No one could figure out what they were trying to do there when they signed Mason Plumlee and you had 19 bigs and you let Christian Wood walk. Like, there was just so many things that didn't add up. And if you are Blake Griffin, to your point, you probably have to at some point say, listen, I'm committed to be here. And that's what he indicated. He was willing to be there and wanting to be a part of that process. But at a certain point, you look around and say, hey, I'm 31 years old. I'm a different type of player than I was, you know, in my younger years. And this obviously isn't going to be the answer. How do we find a way? And it involves giving back almost $14 million to get yourself out of Detroit and then taking a minimum $1.2 million contract to be on a team that has big aspirations.
100%. And when you consider all those factors, just seeing him having an added three ball is extremely essential to me, because in Detroit, he not only elevated his game to a different level to adapt to the injuries he's been dealing with throughout his career. Obviously, like, when he first came into the league, we all knew him as one of those most athletic power forwards that you don't want to mess with when you're playing against them, because he was one of those players that you would rank in the top three power forwards at the time. But as injuries started piling up on him, he started, his game started, I guess you can say, becoming more less effective. But in Detroit, although he, like we did mention that he wasn't really winning, he was still able to elevate his game and improve. And don't players should never take that time for granted, because if say like he went straight from the Clippers to Brooklyn, Brooklyn wouldn't be getting that player that can, you know, stretch the floor, that can pass better, that understands the game better because they're older. We're getting back a Blake Griffin. Brooklyn is getting back a player that has elevated his game, has taken the time throughout like these past seasons in Detroit to learn about how he can expand his game, make it even better than it was before when he was on the Clippers. And even adding in the fact that he doesn't need to throw in his athleticism to, or depend on his athleticism to be effective. That's extremely impressive to me.
Yeah, and Doug and I batted this around. You know, Doug, some of the advanced analytics aren't necessarily glowing right now. Some of the very basic stat lines that Griffin was putting up in Detroit aren't the strongest. But I do think there is that role. If you don't set, Nets fans in general, don't set the bar too high for expectations, Griffin can come in, provide a role. You know, it's not a like for like, but think of him in a Jeff Green type of role as far as minutes, mm-hmm. the points you're looking for, the effort, mm-hmm. the little plays. If that's where the bar gets set, I feel pretty good about it. Doug and I, we'll see how it plays out, because we are on two different sides of the fence for that one. We will get you 100%. Out of here on this, and maybe we'll have you back on a little down the road to discuss the state of Blake Griffin's game. Mm-hmm. Is the Durant, Harden, Kyrie Irving combination, is this the favorite team to win the championship in your eyes, or is there still either not necessarily missing piece, but component or a stumbling block that could stand in their way from winning a title this year?
Right. Oh man, this was actually similar to that one of those other questions you asked me. I said I was gonna tackle it after Harden. It completely slipped my mind. Sorry about that, but yes, there is one thing that I want the Nets to just, you know, focus on this little problem, just in case like it comes up later as like a bigger problem, and that is getting a big that can contain Joel Embiid better than a third Andre Jordan. You know, like I feel like that's a lot to put on the DJ at this point of his career, to guard somebody like a Joel Embiid who's having an MVP season, averaging about 30 points, 11 rebounds per game. You know, I wouldn't want the Nets to have to struggle against an all-time performing Embiid in a playoff series if they're trying to go to the championship. Like, you want to avoid that type of possibility of losing to the Sixers because of that at all costs. So I would want the Nets to still try to push for Andre Drummond and push hard for Andre Drummond. And two, I would want the Nets, if they can get Andre Drummond, to get somebody like JaVale McGee, or get somebody that can just make it harder, and that somebody that's willing to run with Embiid, someone that's willing to get Joel Embiid tired, because
and punish him a little bit, right?
Exactly. A 31 DeAndre Jordan, yes, he can contain Joel Embiid for maybe a half, but in an entire game, I wouldn't bank on that 100%. Although, like, I still feel like the Nets can beat the Sixers in a playoff series, even if DJ is the only guy that's really going to guard Embiid the whole series. However, it's like, why would you want to give a rival a chance at beating you if you can fix it before that a type of series like that comes up? So that's just how I look at it.
It's interesting to think about the Nets even acquiring Blake Griffin, right? They're leaning into the small ball identity. The rumors about, could the Lakers be in pursuit of a Drummond, which would have them lean into their big ball lineup. So, you know, whether it is against the 76ers, if the Nets make it through there and find themselves in the finals against the Lakers, it's going to be philosophical matchups about how you've constructed a team. Sean Marks has kind of had this theme in his entire 10-year with the Brooklyn Nets. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out as we head towards the trade deadline. And if they do acquire one of these big players via trade or buyout market, we'll certainly be interested to see how you look at them fitting in and how these roles kind of break down, minute shares, everything else, right? Because now that's what it becomes to. How are you carving out your roles on this roster in support of ultimately the big three? There's probably still more questions that we could ask, but for the time being, we'll wrap it up there with you, man. I just want to say, as a reminder to everybody, if you're looking for content, you're looking for coverage around the Brooklyn Nets, of course, you can find the editor and writer for Nets Wire, contributing member to the USA Today social media group as well. Now I messed it up at the end there. Right when I thought it was going to be a crisp, clean exit, Ajahi Brown. I can't believe that I did so well all the way through, only to lose it at the end. Ajahi Brown, we really appreciate the time coming on the show, man.
And look, man, like you're not the first one to ever mess up on a name. So don't sweat it at all. And look, man, I appreciate you so much for having me come down. It was an honor, and honestly, it was really fun to just discuss all this drama. For some reason, it seems like the Brooklyn Nets is always something going on with them, right?
Listen, better to be something exciting and interesting to talk about with Brooklyn than talking about them for all the wrong reasons we have in the past. And hopefully we can catch up down the road again soon.
Oh, 100%. I can't wait.